to Misunderstood, a podcast dedicated to better understanding MS and learning to live well with MS. I'm your host, Katie Sloan. Our usual reminders as we begin. First, I am not an expert. I'm just a person like you living with MS and trying to make the best of it. Misunderstood is based on my personal experience, what I've learned from my doctors, other care providers, and my own solutions-oriented research and pattern-finding obsession. While the majority of the information I share has been vetted by doctors, I am not a doctor. My intention is that you use the information shared here as a springboard for discussion between you and your doctor regarding your future care options. And lastly, MS impacts each of us uniquely. I hope to shine a light on a wide range of approaches and strategies for living better with MS. But what you choose to do with that information is always your choice, and what works for one may not work for all. In our previous episode, we learned all about red light therapy as a healing tool that can be used to support healing with a number of MS symptoms. I'm continuing to use red light therapy several times a week, and I'm pleased with the relief I'm experiencing, especially with my hip flexor pain. Today, with the start of the new year, while most of the world is focused on their New Year's resolutions, we're going to talk about a related topic, determining the most important next step on our individual MS healing journeys. For my gratitude today, I'm grateful for the many folks I've had the pleasure of meeting with recently, one-on-one, to learn about their MS journeys and to discern what next step might have the biggest positive impact on their lives, given their current areas of struggle or biggest barriers. This past month, the official True Medicine MS and Gupta program study came to a close. Through participating in their weekly gathers on Zoom, I had the opportunity to meet participants and expand my learning alongside them. I also met one-on-one per participant request with a number of folks to get to know them even better and to discuss what they plan to do next to continue and even accelerate their healing trajectory. While I've historically been a huge proponent of sharing story as a way to illuminate growth opportunities in my teachers when I was an educational coach, little did I know then just how powerful this skill set would be for myself as someone living with MS. Turns out, it can help others too. In the coming months, I'll be acting as peer support for folks from the study control group who have chosen to engage with the True Medicine MS Foundations course independently. I'm looking forward to meeting those folks and hopefully adding value to their healing journey. This past month, I also met with two new incredible healers. One is a naturopathic doctor who also lives with MS, and one is a professor of medicinal chemistry who is using their knowledge of chemistry to create healing supplements. They'll both be guests on upcoming episodes in the new year that I'm really excited about, so stay tuned. This past month, I've also been putting several groups through the PQ Positive Intelligence Mental Fitness Program. Seeing how folks are leaning into their self-command skills and actively utilizing neuroplasticity strategies to change their thought pathways has been incredible to experience. Seeing folks glide through the holiday season, which can be notoriously difficult, has proven to me just how critical mental fitness is in terms of our ability to live well with MS and to be able to better ride the waves of uncertainty we encounter in life. This month, I also met up with a few newer MS friends who are going through tough times. While most of these were virtual on Zoom, one who lives nearby requested I come over and give them some advice on how to prune their roses. That blossomed into deeper conversation and MS story swapping. And after understanding their unique manifestation of debilitating fatigue that has kept them largely housebound, they are now actively researching a few resources I knew of. And in their last email, they shared that they could see hope for the first time since their first autoimmune diagnosis at age 19 over 30 years ago. Healing is powerful stuff. I can't wait to see them implement some of these solution pathways and get on with living their life with fewer limitations. This past month, I also experienced some enlightening animal visits. I was visited 5 times by multiple great white egrets, birds I've never seen previously in our area. It happened on 5 separate occasions in a 2-week window, so it was too noticeable to ignore. A deep dive into the symbolism of great white egrets created an important shift in me that I'll share in a future episode as it's part of my overall intention for 2025. These special encounters convinced me that it's time to put myself out there again in terms of spending more time outward facing after 3 years of intense personal growth focus. And this past month, I also had the pleasure of digging deeply into research with several powerful books that will likely become future episodes, as well as the 2025 Modern Mystics Almanac, created by my dear chronic wellness childhood friend, Lindsay Pera, and her impressive team of global experts. The themes for years past and for this year resonated deeply with where I'm at in my own MS journey, and where I'd like to be. The last few years, I traveled inward and worked a lot on myself. I did a lot of shadow work, PTSD recovery, and focused on releasing trauma from my body that has manifested as spasticity. 2025 for me will be a shift again, and this time a bit more outward, giving back and believing that what I have to give matters and can make a difference for others, like I used to do when I was actively coaching. I'm also gearing up to celebrate 10 years of diagnosed MS this year, even though I've had symptoms for much, much longer. I'm grateful for all the folks along the way who have impacted my life and helped me write new chapters as I've traversed the many challenges that come with living with this disease. I've spent a bit of time lately revisiting my early podcast guest episodes and rereading books that heavily influenced the early part of my journey. I've also revisited my early journals, calendars, and symptom trackers, and reflected upon all the ways I've continued to grow and learn after a life-altering diagnosis. It turns out that post-traumatic growth is a thing, something I learned more about this past year, and I'm spending lots of time and energy to better understand this transformation and how to remove the barriers to achieving this type of breakthrough for myself and for all of us in our shared MS community. All of this reflection has inspired me to make changes moving forward in terms of how I want to spend my time, my most valuable limited resource. And one thing is clear, I'd like to spend even more time with others in our shared MS community. We are cool people. And as science gets closer to discovering a cure, we're also getting closer to finding relief pathways for many of the debilitating symptoms we experience. There is room for healing on the health continuum, even while a cure remains elusive. So today, I'm grateful for the many humans in my network who are open to sharing their vulnerabilities through story swapping, who are actively doing the difficult work of creating and navigating change within themselves, and for the many experts who have been where we are now and enlighten the way for the rest of us, supporting us along the journey. I'm grateful, too, for our animal companions who are also powerful messengers. What's crystal clear is that we are not alone on this journey, and there's much we can do to better our circumstances. Being part of a team matters. Let's not forget that team stands for together, everyone achieves more. Okay, let's dive into determining our next step on the journey. Oftentimes, along the trail of the hero's journey, we're not sure exactly where we are because we're so deeply embedded in actively living our own story day to day and cannot see the forest through the trees. We might have a general idea of aspects of our lives we'd like to change, and these often show up as traditional style New Year's resolutions. Having goals is a good thing, and making sure we have specific health goals is also wise and ensures we're taking a balanced approach to health and wellness by spanning all 8 dimensions of wellness: physical, intellectual, occupational, spiritual, environmental, financial, social, and emotional. If you've ever attended a solutions-oriented peer support space for folks living with MS, you know how powerful it can be to be in community with one another and share our hardships. When we get together to swap story, this is where the magic happens. Suddenly, we feel heard, understood. We're able to see clearly what we were previously too close to see. When we share our story with vulnerability and authenticity, patterns emerge, and an empathetic listener can choose to either hold up a mirror or shine a light to help us better see the opportunities and choice points at hand. I've had the privilege to be the one holding up the mirror and shining the light for others, and I've been on the receiving end of this insightful wisdom, which has more often than not propelled me in directions that have led to significant healing. This give and get is a beautiful thing that happens when two or more of us gather together and share. As we enter this new calendar year, it's a natural time to start anew. Longtime listeners will recall a number of episodes from previous years about this reflective time that contain a variety of pathways to arrive at a New Year's intention and how to develop an aligned plan of action. I encourage you to revisit those episodes if you're interested. This year, as I continue to study post-traumatic growth and all the ways we, as people living with MS, can experience successful healing, I'm extending a personal invitation to reach out and meet up with me, one-on-one via Zoom, to swap story and to talk about the next step we each plan to take. It doesn't matter, by the way, if you're someone I already see regularly in MS spaces or if we've never met. This is an offer to each and every one of you to spend some time linking arms with one another, to see if there are ways we can help each other, determine our next step, and support each other along the way. Why the next step? When we think about change and all that we may want to change in our lives, especially when we live with a chronic progressive condition like MS, that list may be quite long, and it can very easily lead to overwhelm. One thing the newly revamped PQ program has cemented in me is that when something is overwhelming or feels impossible, or we're experiencing difficulty in implementing our desired changes, or just even getting started, is that we're thinking too big. By looking at a goal incrementally, breaking it down again and again, and again, and taking just one small step at a time, even large problems or barriers can become small and obtainable. Life is not lived in a straight line, but an ascending spiral where we often revisit lessons that we have yet to learn. Can you relate? Have you experienced the "not this again" experience? Think about ways you might feel stuck in a loop of dissatisfaction, or overwhelm, or sadness, or a repeating relational challenge. To get ourselves out of these negative feedback loops, we can learn to navigate these ascending spirals of living and learning a little differently, which can get us to dramatically different places in terms of physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and yes, even biological health at the cellular level. Our lives are worthy investments. We get only one. So, how can we rise above the problems we are facing and make real traction in these areas of particular struggle? The first step is to bravely accept that what we define as impossible will remain impossible. Let me say that again. What we define as impossible will remain impossible. We must move beyond being the limiting factor in our lives if we in fact desire change. And if we're feeling this is impossible, just check out the armless archer, Matt Stutzman, gold medalist from this year's Paralympic Games. We are capable of recalibrating and growing. We are capable of repair. We can do incredible things. In fact, one of the coolest things Dr. Peyrovi has taught me over the years is that our bodies know how to heal if we provide them with the right conditions to do so. So what if we decided that this year would be a year of repair? I know what I'm choosing to work on. What are you choosing to work on? Before we move on, I'd like to also say that it's okay if you aren't in a place right now where you actually want to heal. Yes, that's actually a thing, and it's more common than we might realize. And get this, it's even possible to believe we want to heal, but still unconsciously not be ready. Earlier this year, I read Why People Don't Heal and How They Can by Dr. Carolyn Miss. It was really enlightening in terms of better understanding how we can grab hold of a diagnosis or other limitation or symptom as part of our identity. And when we make this a permanent part of our identity, guess what? It will be permanent, because what we believe is impossible will continue to be impossible. Fascinating read that I highly recommend if it's calling to you. It illuminated and transmuted a few previous blind spots for me that I'm very grateful for. As just one example, some protective boundaries that I needed to put in place at the beginning of my diagnosed MS journey so I could learn to focus on my own healing are no longer necessary, and in fact, they were actually holding me back from further growth in other areas and in specific relationships. Starting to loosen those boundaries has already been transformative for me and for the relationship. To illustrate what a year of repair might look like for someone living with MS, I'd like to share a bit about something I've been working on really hard, in fact, for the last 2.5 years. While I've had the best intentions along the way to share this following chapter of my story, in the new year, I'll likely do a full-length episode with Dr. Peyrovi on the topic in case folks are interested in the details of the journey so that they might embark on a similar journey for themselves. And guess what? She's been on a similar journey, so I look forward to hearing her share more with us about her successes too, so we can learn from her story as well. For now, I'd like to share how taking just one small step at a time enabled me to change one of the most limiting MS symptoms that I was experiencing at the time, something I previously thought was permanent that I'd have to live with for the rest of my life. And while I do, be thinking about that one thing you could change to help you live a life you love, even while living with MS. Perhaps you already know. Let's go back in time to the spring of 2022. It was May, and already we were experiencing triple-digit days over 100 degrees Fahrenheit, or about 37 degrees Celsius. I was stuck inside, and as someone who loves the outdoors and would be there all day if I could, I was depressed that the hot weather was here so early, and I was facing many months of being stuck inside so shortly after a long, dark winter full of raging storms that had also kept me inside much of the time. I had also recently torn my hamstring where it meets the hip bone, so I was in a lot of pain, which certainly didn't help my outlook. As is often the case with compounding symptoms, we can get ourselves into a dark place quite quickly and stay there. Heat sensitivity is quite common for those of us with MS. If you suffer from this too, episode 13 might be worth a listen to hear the research and solutions. While I'm at it, I'll note that cold sensitivity is also a thing for us, albeit fewer of us are impacted. Episode 19 covers the research and solutions for cold weather MS symptoms. I was fortunate to suffer from both heat and cold sensitivity. When overheated, I regularly experienced a Uphoff's phenomenon, which is the temporary worsening of MS symptoms caused by an increase of temperature. While most often impacting visual symptoms, we can also experience an increase in fatigue, pain, muscle weakness, bladder control, lack of balance ability, cognitive decline, or a wide variety of sensory issues. Uphoff was a brilliant neuro-ophthalmologist in the late 1800s who noticed that his patients experienced a worsening in visual abilities after exercising. Fast forward to now, we understand that the changes aren't because of exercising per se, but rather an increase in body temperature, which can be a result of climate, indoor heating, fever, illness or infection, more physical exertion. Even a very small rise in body temperature can slow the conduction of nerve impulses along nerve pathways that have suffered demyelination. Typically, once our temperature returns to normal, the symptoms gratefully subside. But it can be pretty traumatic when the symptoms hit. If you've experienced this, you know. Since my vision was heavily impacted by heat exposure, I didn't feel safe being outside beyond 72 degrees Fahrenheit, which was the threshold where I often started experiencing distressing heat sensitivity symptoms. In fact, my range of comfort was a narrow 68 to 72 degrees. Outside of that, I was either too hot or too cold. It was a Goldilocks situation, but painfully real. Because of the symptoms I had experienced at or beyond 72 degrees, in addition to not feeling like I could safely be outside, I also didn't feel like I could safely drive anywhere independently. I had a bad case of the limiting what ifs. What if my car died and it was hot outside and I had to walk or wait for help? What if I got overheated driving because my air conditioning didn't work well enough? Or I got in an accident because I couldn't see very well or had a migraine or was experiencing vision-induced vertigo? What if the heat impacted my legs as it often did and I couldn't get myself to safety? Despite wearing UPF gloves while driving, what if the heat took away my fine and gross motor ability of my arms and hands again? Or what if the heat induced nerve pain on the right side of my face became permanent? What if? What if? What if? This was very fear-based thinking, but I get why I was feeling this way, as I had lost a ton of functionality in 2015 to transverse myelitis and 100% of my vision in my right eye in 2016. Both terrifying experiences I did not want to revisit. In the depths of depression, and yes, even optimists can experience depression, even though I was surrounded by a beautiful, colorful, and cheerful garden, I didn't feel safe enough to be outside to enjoy it. This was a dark time for me, and I even questioned if I needed to move to another climate. This one symptom was drastically impacting my life and my ability to be happy. And at the time, I thought there were no solutions. Change just didn't seem at all possible. It was around this time that I had a couple of really important experiences that changed everything for me. First, I did a lot of deep thinking. I have someone in my life that I love very much who has been living with a serious health condition and talking about how they only have months to live for 25 years. Having a front row seat to how this approach has impacted their life over time and those of us who love them has given me a strong example of how I don't want to approach my own serious diagnosis. So I knew, even while in the depths of despair, that staying there would not be helpful. I was convinced I could find another way. I just had to find it. Second, I revisited The Mystic's Path, a beautiful book by my friend Lindsay Para. This book is a simple yet powerful guidebook to living a good life despite any challenges we may face. Since the author also lives with chronic illnesses, she gets it, and many of her catalytic strategies resonated with me deeply. One gratitude practice in particular quickly became an integral part of my day, the daily sit spot. I decided that since I didn't feel I could safely be outside most days, that I would get outside very early in the day for at least 1 hour and sit in the same spot as she suggested every single day. This would at least get me outside before it became dangerous for me as the temperature rose throughout the day. This has, over time, become one of the single most important routines I do for myself. Through this daily routine, rain or shine, on a comfy lounge chair that receives delightful morning sun, I have become more deeply connected to the land on which I live. The birds no longer fly away. They know me now, and my dogs. And by spending at least an hour outside each day, my body slowly began to change, even though it was honestly undetectable at first. Third, it was also around this time when I got really into the PQ Mental Fitness program and started inviting folks from our shared MS community to try it too. In the program, creator Shirzad Chameen talked about immersion therapy, which is a psychological technique that uses a controlled environment to help people overcome fears, anxiety, and panic disorders. This type of therapy helps us build tolerance and reduce the anxiety response over time. This can help with mental health disorders, phobias like flying, or PTSD. I started researching the psychology and biology of heat sensitivity extensively. And since I had already incorporated Wim Hof's cold blasts at the end of my showers to cool me off before blow-drying my hair, which had helped me tremendously, I started researching what else I could do to help reduce my heat and cold intolerance, and therefore increase my currently 4-degree spectrum of comfort. I started using an ice foot bath under the outside table to keep my core temperature low when it was hot. This enabled me to be outside safely just a bit longer. At this point, I also started working towards raising the temperature of my monthly salt floats. When I first started, the owner suggested I request a few degrees cooler than their normal setting, given that I live with MS. Over the course of about 6 months, I slowly worked up to normal temperature without incident. This beautifully correlated with winter temperature, so it was an easier transition than I thought it would be. Fourth, around this time, I found Woolex, a small family-owned merino wool company, and learned more about the temperature-regulating qualities of merino wool that could help me with better managing high and low temperatures. I was familiar with some of this from my backpacking days, but I learned that many of the clothes I was wearing every day were synthetics, which are meant to be breathable but also trap moisture and even mold and can be irritating to the skin. As someone with sensitive skin and allodynia, one of the 10 types of pain, I decided to experiment with wearing wool, which I had actually previously thought I might be allergic to, since the wool I had tried before was very itchy. It turned out that I could breathe much better while wearing wool. I didn't sweat as much, and I was comfortable in a larger range of temperatures, both colder and warmer. I was so comfortable, in fact, that over the next 2 years, I slowly switched my wardrobe from synthetics to wool. Bronwyn undergarments became my first layer, and Woolex replaced my synthetics. I'll post those links on our Patreon page, visible to all if folks are interested. I even have discount coupons that I'll share. Fast forward to now, I have about 10% of my wardrobe that is still synthetic favorites, like my sports jerseys, or 100% cotton or linen. Everything else is wool. By waiting for sales, utilizing customer appreciation points, using BST, buy, sell, or trade sites, Poshmark, or other resale sites, I've been able to make this change even on a fixed income. And since wool doesn't trap odors, I can wear an item multiple times between washings, which has also helped me conserve water and also other resources like my time and energy. I'll also mention that Woolex is machine washable, so no hand washing or dry cleaning is necessary. It's easy and simple. Along the way, I was fortunate to be able to share my progress with Dr. Peyrovi. I shared what I was doing and how it was going, and this communication with a knowledgeable doctor familiar with my medical history gave me the confidence I needed to keep trying and also helped keep my fears at bay. She was also experimenting on her travels with building her own temperature tolerance, which helped me, in turn, maintain my own momentum. Last summer, 2023, I noticed that I could be outside longer without having a negative impact. I set a timer so I wouldn't be outside too long, and I did spend a lot of time in the shade, but I only experienced Uphoff's phenomenon a handful of times, which was a huge improvement in just a year's time. In October that year, I experienced a true test. My college girlfriends and I met up for a weekend at the coast to celebrate our big birthdays that year. There was an unexpected heat wave, and our lodgings did not have air conditioning. Since we are all of the same age, the age where we start experiencing hot flashes and all the joy that goes with being a woman of that age, it was interesting to see how I did in comparison to these three ladies who do not live with a heat-sensitive health complication. I was wearing my wool, and while we were all somewhat sweaty as we were out and about all day, I was the most comfortable of all of us, and fortunately did not experience any negative reactions to the heat. I did make sure I was drinking cool water all day, but other than that, I was out in the elements with them during the day and in the warm and stuffy Airbnb at night. I'll also say that it was on this trip that I really noticed the advantages of wearing wool undergarments. The breathability, even when sweaty, and how quickly they dried was greatly appreciated, especially for those especially sensitive areas. Ladies, I'm talking under the boobs. And for both genders, you know how annoying swamp ass can be. I definitely don't miss those experiences, and I wish I had known about wool undergarments in my backpacking days. I continued through last year with wearing wool, my outside sit spot, for at least an hour each day, which I was finding I could do later and later, and in warmer and warmer temperatures, and researching methods of acclimatization and temperature therapies. Last winter, I noticed I could handle the cold better too. I also, very importantly, became much more calibrated and attuned to my inner thermometer. I would notice temperature nuances right away and know exactly what to do. I'll add or take off a layer if needed. I'd drink warm or iced tea. I'd add a sun hat or a warm hat. I used to not be so in tune with this inner thermostat, and I'd only notice once the symptoms started up. Now, I intuitively know how to make adjustments in the moment, and even more importantly, I don't need to make as many adjustments now that my temperature range of comfort has drastically grown over time. Words can't express how comfortable I am now in my skin and how big of a difference this change has made in my life in terms of my overall happiness and quality of life. Allodynia, that horrible skin pain, is gone, except for one small amoeba-like shape-shifting spot on my left calf. My skin is significantly less sensitive. I don't have neurological itching like I used to. And most importantly, I'm outside every day. Yeah, I still hang out in my sit spot, but I'm also able to spend more time being active in the garden, my happy place. I can lay in the sun again and get my vitamin D the old-fashioned way. I can play with the dogs and not have to worry about overexertion. This summer, in 2024, we topped out at 118 degrees Fahrenheit. While I didn't stay outside for long amounts of time in each sitting at those temperatures, I was able to live a relatively normal outdoor life, which was a huge contrast to 2 years before, when anything above 72 degrees kept me inside in the AC. There were times this summer where my partner came out to check on me because I hadn't been inside in hours and it was well over 100 degrees. Even he was amazed at the change. Was I warm? Yes. Did I experience symptoms? No. Not even once. In many ways, I feel like I got my life back. Certainly an aspect of life that is really important to me. I grew in my confidence to drive longer distances alone, even in triple-digit weather. And the clouds of depression over time diminished as I was able to return to my happy place and experience what is truly possible when we provide the conditions our body needs to heal. Now, for folks who don't love the outdoors as much as I do, this whole process might seem like an awful lot of effort just to get to be outside more. I get it. Not everyone is a certified nature nut like me, but I bet you have something that you are absolutely crazy about. And if MS has stopped you from being able to do that safely, I'm certain there are potential avenues available worthy of exploration that could move the needle of ability in a good direction. And this is where my offering of being more outward facing comes in. I remember very clearly how horrible it was when I was first diagnosed and knew near nothing about MS. It felt like my life as I knew it was over, and I didn't know who to turn to for reliable help, or even if help existed. This wasn't the first time in my life I didn't have access to help when I needed it, and that feeling of aloneness or suffering and isolation was truly the worst. Over the years, it has fueled me to learn a lot, and it is the greatest reward to me when the hardships I experienced are able to alleviate the hardships of someone else. In a way, it feels like they were worth it because they had some benefit. So, if you have something that MS is holding you back from being able to do, it can be physical, spiritual, mental, or emotional in nature, I've set aside 8 hours each week in the new year to dedicate to meeting with folks in our community who would like to meet up to put our heads together to find solutions. From my career as a coach, I can use those change management skills that I used to get paid for to help support you by showing you how we can develop an implementation plan with simple, easy steps. I will share mine with you in return, as I always benefit too from sharing story. And of course, I have a new repair goal for myself in 2025 that you might be able to help me with. In the 10 years that I've been extensively researching MS and building a network of really smart MS experts that I connect with regularly to brainstorm with, I'm certain there are ways to move the needle to a better place in the area that would mean the most to you. And if I don't know of anything right now, y'all know how much I enjoy research. I would love the opportunity to research something new if it could possibly help you. So, what is it? What's the biggest MS-related barrier you're currently facing and would like to repair this year? What keeps you from being your best and happiest self? What aspect of MS frustrates you the most? If you could change one thing about your current situation, what would it be? Is it fatigue, vision, neuropathy, mobility, cognition, insomnia, mindset, depression, anxiety, migraines, spasticity, vertigo, relationships, stress, work, constipation, pain, rumination, or something else? Would you like to meet up for an hour to talk about it? This costs nothing except your time and your vulnerability to share your current reality and your willingness to hear mine and brainstorm together as we swap story. If you'd like to meet up, reach out via our podcast email address or on our Patreon page to connect. I truly look forward to spending time with you. So, as we walk through the door today to a new year and are thinking about our New Year's resolutions, let's also recalibrate our thinking in terms of what's possible of living even better with MS. My hope today, as we step into a new year together, is that we all, one, believe that our body knows how to heal, and that by providing the right conditions, at least some level of healing is possible for us. Two, that we consider reaching out to Swap Story to see if there are known avenues for repairing our deepest and most limiting of current MS-related wounds. And three, that we remember that what we define as impossible remains impossible. We do have the ability to move beyond being the limiting factor in our lives. To continue our conversation, you are welcome to attend our Misunderstood Flock meetings via Zoom the first Saturday of each month. That's this coming Saturday. Flock members, bring your thoughts about your one thing you'd like to work on this year in terms of MS-related healing. I look forward to us linking arms and supporting one another as we move through the year together. And if you're not yet a Flock member but would like to be, please join us. We are all people living with MS from around the world that meet via Zoom monthly to support each other and continue our learning on the episode topics. We also support each other through hardships and celebrate our successes together. You can learn more and join us by visiting our Patreon page. As always, I encourage all listeners to reach out with MS-related questions, comments, future podcast topics, or guest ideas. And lastly, remember, as we travel through life with MS, we're certain to hit some turbulence. We'll get through it, especially if we're flying together and supporting one another and honking our encouragement. As always, thank you for listening. Happy New Year, and until next time, be well.